Well, good evening. Welcome to our time together. I know for those of you who have been here for one of our baptismal services, it is for you, like it is for me, a wonderful highlight in the life of the church. It's great to see the truth fleshed out in terms of how God has worked in individual lives. You're going to enjoy and benefit from and be encouraged by the testimonies you hear tonight. It's been our joy to hear them while we've been waiting. But let me just mention before we begin what this is about for those of you who may be visiting with us this evening or may not be familiar with this. Before our Lord left the earth, He commanded His disciples that they were to go into all the earth and make disciples of His. And once they had made disciples, they were to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then they were to teach them the truth. And so tonight, there are nine people who are part of our church. Many of you will know them and will have seen some of them even grow up in this church. And it's a great encouragement to hear how the Lord has made them disciples of His. And they're here tonight to testify of what has already been accomplished. Baptism does nothing in terms of accomplishing any spiritual benefit. It is simply a symbol. It's a memorial. It's a testimony to a spiritual reality that has already occurred. In Romans chapter 6, Paul describes that when we come to faith in Christ, at that moment, it's as if we died with Christ and were buried in His death and were raised to walk in new life. Baptism really pictures that reality that occurs at the moment a person turns in faith to Christ. So it's simply a picture. There's nothing in this water that accomplishes any spiritual merit or benefit. It's a step of obedience commanded of every believer who comes to faith in Jesus Christ. It is a way for the believer to associate himself or herself with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, He is my Lord, my Savior. I am His disciple. I'm His learner, and I want to follow Him. You pray for these tonight as they come to share their testimonies with us. And you encourage them and pray for them in the weeks and months ahead as well.
Hey guys, I'm Sarah Snyder, and I think I know most of you out there have been going to Countryside for 15 years now, but I get to go first. So before I was a Christian, I acted like an unbeliever. I was really contentious with my family. I didn't learn or listen in church. I didn't ever read my Bible, and I really hated praying. I did know that something was vaguely wrong with my life. I just didn't want to change it because I loved my sin too much. One day when I was 10 years old, I was doing my homeschool Bible study, and I just suddenly realized that I'm really unworthy of the life God gave me, and God convicted me of my sin at that point. I started crying, and my mom came in with her Bible. She explained true salvation to me because I'd always assumed that, hey, my parents go to church. I'm not that bad, so I'm saved, right? After that, I prayed and confessed my sins and gave my life to Christ. I was always kind of afraid of doing this because there are a lot of you guys out there. And just recently, through one of the lessons God's been teaching me daily, it's just that the focus of this is not on me. It's on everything that He did. And the only part about me is just that I'm the object of His grace. That's why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, it's wonderful to see the Lord's work in the life of someone who's grown up in the church. It's a wonderful testimony to you parents to be faithful in sharing Christ with your children and seeing that they're exposed to the truth of God's Word. And it's wonderful to see that come to fruition. And you'll see that in several of the testimonies tonight. And I hope all of you with young children will be very much encouraged to be faithful, to pray, and to encourage every work of God's grace as He brings along someone to Himself. Sarah, we're so grateful for what the Lord has done in your life, for the grace He's shown you. And because of that, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
my name is Chelsea Langton, and I'm here to tell you my testimony. As a child, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents taught me about Jesus and how he died for me. At a young age, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I believed that I was a sinner and could never be good enough to enter heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I also realized that Jesus was the only way I could be saved from my sins. By dying on the cross and rising from the dead, Christ paid the price so that I would not have to be separated from God for eternity. Since I became a Christian, I have a desire to serve and obey the Lord. He continues to teach me through his word, and that's why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, again, it's wonderful to see the work of God in the life of one who's grown up in a Christian home and been exposed to the truth. But while all of these testimonies have dissimilarities, they all have several things in common. They have a recognition of sin, a recognition of Christ as the only hope, an acknowledgement of the need to follow Him, and evidence of the work of God by a change in the life. And Chelsea, because of these things in your life, because of the grace God has shown you in Christ, because of your willingness to follow Him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Holly Zimmerman. I was saved when I was about 11 or 12. Before I was saved, I was someone you didn't want to be around. I would always disobey my parents and curse my siblings. When I was younger, we attended a small Catholic church. I thought that I was a good person, so I thought that I was saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, that anyone should boast." So by being a good person isn't enough. You have to have faith. At this time, we left the Catholic church. Then we came to Countryside. At Countryside, I was presented the gospel. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Christ was the only one who could die for my sins. He died on the cross, showing that he really did love me. Through God working in my heart and Rocky and Jonathan's teaching, I was able to understand the message of the gospel. My accountability leaders, Becky Jones and Angela Guthrie, also encouraged me to keep growing in my knowledge and love of God. Now that I am saved, I take most of the opportunities to share my faith. The Lord has also allowed me to get more involved in the youth group. So I am here now to be baptized in obedience to God's word.
Well, again, it's wonderful to see the work of God in your life because of your clear testimony of faith in Christ, because you're understanding that you were saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. It's my joy to baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Carrie Higgins. My life before Christ was very dark and wayward, and the life I lived was very worldly. I had no regard for my sinful lifestyle. I began coming to Countryside because I wanted my daughter to grow up in a safe environment, and I thought the church was a good place for that. So I just tried to kind of blend in the back and just sit back there, but God had another plan for me. In Romans 10:14, the Bible says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then verse 17 says, "Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It was through constant hearing of the word being taught that I became convicted of my sin and my need of a Savior. I asked the Lord into my life about 5 years ago, and by God's grace I have not ever been the same. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." One of my favorite hymns is Amazing Grace. It summarizes who I was and who I am. And John 9:25 says, "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." And that's why I'm here tonight, to be baptized.
You know, the song that you mentioned, Amazing Grace, is really pictured in this water. Because all that we used to be died with Christ. When we come to faith in Him, all of that's gone, and we become a new creation in Him. Terry, it's wonderful to hear how the Lord has done that in your life. And because of that, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Edward Marquez, and I'm here to share with you all tonight how I came to know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior. For the first 4 years of my life, my parents and I attended a Catholic church. One day, my grandparents invited us to go to a small Christian church in Southern California. It was there that my parents got saved. Since my parents were saved, I thought I was saved too, but I was wrong. Someone else cannot earn a person's salvation. It's by what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. A few years later, we moved to Grace Community Church. There, I became exposed to the gospel and got involved with the youth program. Though I was under great spiritual guidance, I still was not saved. We moved to Texas when I was in the seventh grade. Even though I was a good kid, I was one person in school, another person at home, and a good Christian kid at church. The fact was, I was deceiving my parents, my friends, the youth leaders, and worst of all, I was deceiving myself. On December 26, 2001, we were listening to Pastor John MacArthur on the radio, and he was speaking on self-examination. As he went through the points, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sins and showed me that I was not saved. I was living my life in a way that did not bring glory to God. So I went to my room that night and poured out my heart to God, asking Him to forgive me of all the sins that I had committed. I realized that I had done nothing to earn His grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no one can boast." That night, I became a true child of God. Ever since then, I have seen Christ work in my life. He has given me the passion to reach out to people who are not saved. He has shown me what a Christian life looks like. I thank God for putting people in my life, such as my mom and my dad, who encourage, challenge, and even sometimes discipline me sometimes. For Rocky and the rest of the Wyatt family for helping me through tough times and teaching me what kind of person God wants me to be. For Ernie Black, who was such a great accountability group leader, who has challenged me to read my Bible every day and has had the patience to put up with my chair drumming for the past 3 years. And finally, I would like to thank God for putting me in a church where I know that what I am hearing is God's truth and has surrounded me with such godly people. I know now that I am a born-again Christian and nothing can ever change that. I know that it was not the prayer that saved me, but it was putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life, so that is why I'm here tonight, to get baptized as a testimony of my faith and obedience to Him.
Edwin, we're so grateful for the work God has done in your life, for the ministry that you now have in our church. We thank the Lord for bringing you to Himself, for your commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's because of your testimony of faith in Him that it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Drew Michael, and just here to share my testimony with you all tonight and be baptized. I grew up in a family that's very moral, has a very church background, but it was until I was 10 years old that I remember someone presenting the gospel with me for the first time. That was my stepmother, and she'd just been saved out of the Catholic Church. And the way I remembered it was something along the lines of, if you don't believe in God, then you're going to go to hell when you die. And for a 10-year-old, that was a pretty scary thought. And so I just decided, well, then I'll believe in God and just go that route. But it didn't change my life. I didn't really know the truth of what Scripture has to say about God and Jesus Christ. And so I just continued on living. And then in my sophomore year in high school, I met Chris Turnbull, who's a very good friend of mine. And many of you all know the Ron and Beth Turnbull, and surrogate parents to me. And I love them very much. And they brought me to Countryside, and I started listening to Rocky's teaching in his Sunday school. And learned a lot of the Bible then, but it still didn't change my heart. My heart was still hard towards Christ, and I still didn't recognize my sin in front of God and what that meant. You know, I was still dead in my sins. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says that I was dead spiritually in my trespasses, and that I have a wrath of I was a child of wrath in my personality and in my spirit, and so that I could do nothing to get into heaven, and there's nothing I could do to work my way there. And learning information from Rocky about the Bible and about how holy we're supposed to be and how God stands for holiness, 1 Peter 1:16 says, as it is written, be holy as I am holy. And so I was knowing these things in my head, but they weren't changing my heart. And then when I was 18, I was in Oklahoma at my father's working on the farm and was in a situation where I could either go and do sin or not. And it was then at that point in time that I was convicted of what sin was and that I was a sinner in front of God and that my eternal destiny was hell, and because of that, and that I was going to be punished for my sins. And it was at that point in time that I placed my faith in Jesus Christ and the fact that He had died on the cross, taking the punishment for my sins and redeeming me from them, and then rose again the third day in defeating sin and death. And I placed my faith in Jesus at that time and was saved. And since then, through loving Christians, other people that I know, people like a friend of mine, Chris Ennis, was there at times in my life, milestones to say, you're not honoring God with your decision-making, with the way your life is. And I would see those sins in my life, my eyes would be open to them, and I would repent and turn away from those sins. And from now on, I live my life according to Scripture and obedience to it, all so that I can glorify God with my life, because it's not my life that counts. It's glorifying God that counts. So I'm here tonight to be baptized.
You know, it's amazing to see how we can hear the truth, but until the Holy Spirit really opens our eyes to see who we are before God, we just don't get it. And it's wonderful to see God's grace. And Drew, because the Holy Spirit did open your eyes, because He helped you see who you were before God and who Christ is, because you professed Him as Lord and Savior, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Jacob Champlin, and I was privileged from a very young age to be in a family of Christians. Both my parents and both my older brothers were Christians before me, and they led a good example for me of what a Christian life was, and I'm very thankful for that. When I was still pretty young, about 5 or 6 years old, I put my faith in Christ, because it's by faith alone, through grace alone, that in Christ Jesus and His blood on the cross that He shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, that I'm saved. And I believed that then, and I believe it now. So it didn't end there, though. My life has moved on, and even still I've encountered sin since then, but I know that Christ has still forgiven me for that. In particular, the biggest issue that I faced and that Christ has taught me things through was in fourth grade, we moved to Texas from Michigan. And I was happy in Michigan, and I liked it there, and I didn't want to move down here. But we did. And I was bitter about that for a long, long time, until Christ eventually showed me that, no, that wasn't the right attitude to have. He showed me that He had a wonderful plan for my life, and that I needed to trust Him fully with that. And I did, and I've repented of that bitterness, and it's been a lot. My life has been much better since then. And I just want to thank God for that so much. And I'm here tonight to be baptized, to be obedient to the Lord's will, because He calls us to do this, to identify with His death and resurrection on the cross.
Jake, it's my joy because of your faith in Jesus Christ, because of your testimony of willingly being a disciple of His, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Jill Clancy. When I was a young child, my mother was a Jehovah's Witness, and I grew up in a home where good morals and family values were important. I was taught by the Jehovah's Witness organization that salvation comes to those who follow their rules and belong to their religion. I was also taught that hell is only death, and that when we die, we simply return to dust. Although I was never a true Jehovah's Witness myself, I lived most of my younger years without a fear of hell or eternal punishment. My mother left the Jehovah's Witness organization when I was a young teenager. She had found the truth about salvation while reading her Bible. I began attending church with her and learned about Christianity. I learned about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, heaven and eternal life, and hell and eternal punishment. I remember learning this verse, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, I was a teenager in the 1980s, and the desires of my heart were definitely motivated by the world. I thought this verse meant that Jesus would not only give me the free gift of eternal life, but everything else that I desired or chased after. The world was definitely having more fun than the Jehovah's Witnesses. And since I now had a fear of eternal punishment in hell, I figured that I had better be a Christian and believe in Jesus so that I could add eternal life to my already fun and promising life. In 1985, I made a profession of faith and was water baptized. It was not long after that I became much too busy for church and all that Christian living. Besides, it really did not seem to be paying off the way I thought it would. God was not exactly answering my prayers and giving me the desires of my heart. Since I was unable to live up to the Christian lifestyle that I thought I had to live, I just gave up. I thought that if the Jehovah's Witnesses were wrong about hell, well, maybe those Christians were wrong about hell, too. Everyone seemed to believe something. I chose not to believe any of it and went on living the life that I enjoyed with the people who accepted me for who I was. Looking back on it now, I can see that I had rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ for my own self-righteousness and love of my worldly life. In 1988, I met Joe, and in 1990, we were engaged to be married. Joe was raised in a Catholic church, and we were to be married in a Catholic church. I remember thinking that it was really nice that families just grew up knowing what religion they were, and if we were to have kids, they may as well grow up Catholic. That way, our children would never be confused about religion. I thought that they would just be raised Catholic, and if they chose to change when they grew up, then that would be their choice. We even signed a statement that said we would raise our children in a Roman Catholic church. One of the things that interested me most about my Roman Catholic in-laws was the fact that they had a religion, they believed in God and Jesus, and they really did not live any differently than the rest of the world. In my opinion, this was a much simpler route. Although I had no intentions of becoming Catholic, I was seriously considering someday giving my children the Roman Catholic religion so that they could believe something. It was about 3 years later that I grew tired of chasing after the world. Nothing seemed to make me happy. All my fun and social life carried with it consequences that were not fun anymore. I remembered feeling very hopeless and sad. I had even entertained the thought of trying Christianity again, but knew that I could not pull that off. I had been there and tried that. I could never live up to those high standards. My life seemed to have no meaning. I believed that it was during that period of time that the Holy Spirit was tugging at my heart. Joe and I attended an Easter Sunday church service with my mother that spring. I believe that it was at that church service that the Holy Spirit opened my ears and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understood that I needed a Savior. I remember praying many times during that next week for God to save me, but as much as I prayed, I still felt the need to do something. I recall telling my mother that I had prayed and prayed for God to save me, but I was still not sure that I was saved. I did not think I was good enough to be a Christian. She explained to me that it was never about being good enough and that I was right. I could never be good enough. And that all I had to do was trust in Him alone for my salvation. And if I had already done that, there was nothing else to do. Jesus already did it for me. That very night I prayed again. I asked Him to forgive everything that I had ever done. I asked Him to forgive everything that I was. I accepted His gift of salvation. I finally understood. Soon after that, I began to understand even more. I learned why Jesus Christ died on a cross and what happened on that cross. I understood that He paid the price for my sins. The very punishment that I deserved, the wrath of God, was laid upon Jesus Christ on the cross. I understood that when I die, I will stand before God, clothed in the very righteousness of Christ, instead of my own sin, and that I could now have a relationship with Him because I had placed my faith in Him alone. I finally knew that nothing else in my life had any meaning or value, and the only true hope I could ever have was in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit began to work in my heart right away. I began to read His word and learn about Him. I began to view things differently and had a desire to do His will. When He would teach me something, I would apply it to my life. It would always turn out to be a blessing, and blessing after blessing, I continue to trust Him more, for He is always faithful. After being saved for about a year or so, I came across this verse again, Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." I thought back to when I was a teenager, and I remembered what I had thought about this verse. I also remembered what my desires were back then, before I knew Jesus as my Savior and Lord. It makes much more sense to me now than it did back then. God does answer my prayers for the desires of my heart. But now I understand that the desires of my heart are the very things that He gives me. He gives me new desires, desires that are what He desires for me and my life, according to what He reveals to me through His word. To this day, I rejoice in this verse, for it always reminds me of what the Lord continues to do in my heart.
You know, it's my joy to meet with Joe and Jill a few weeks ago and talk through the issue of baptism. After they came to faith in Christ, they were in a church where the word was taught, but it was a church that embraces a form of doctrine that only accepts some of the New Testament as the standard for what we do and rejected water baptism as something that was Jewish. I found them, as we just walked through what the Scripture teaches, I found them immediately open to that, eager to do whatever would please the Lord. And it was a joy to see them embrace this as what Christ requires of them and to fulfill it eagerly. Jill, it's such an amazing thing to see God's work in your life, how He brought first your mom and you and Joe out of darkness into light. And because of the grace He's shown you, because of your profession of faith in Him and Him alone as your only hope of heaven, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Joe Clancy. I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church and always thought, as I was taught, that as a Catholic, my salvation or eternal rest was secured based on my religion. I can honestly say that I never once considered the idea that I might not go to heaven when I die. Heaven for me was assured, and I was free to live my life for me, and God would welcome me when it came to an end. As you can imagine, that sort of thinking left me alone to pursue every self-centered, self-fulfilling, and self-gratifying sin I desired, and I desired lots of them. Although my actions never resulted in me being sent to prison or drug or alcohol rehab, the depth of my depravity was no less than that of the worst criminal or drug addict. I simply refused to acknowledge that the way I was living my life was sinful. In 1990, I took a job with a window company that required extensive driving throughout the Midwest states, and in many of those rural areas, there are not many radio stations to listen to, and I'd often be faced with the choice of listening to either hog reports or radio preachers. Many times, though not always, I would choose the radio preachers. And looking back, I believe Charles Stanley was probably one of the ones that I listened to most often, though I didn't pay specific attention to his name, but I was drawn to his soft-spoken voice and his southern accents. The other thing that drew me to listen was the love of Christ that was so often referred to in those messages. And I used to love to listen to those right up until the time when the preacher would mention a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I can remember thinking, the last thing I need in my life right now is another personal relationship, and especially one with him. I didn't want him coming into my life and messing the whole thing up. In 1993, after being married for a couple of years, my wife Jill and I decided to sell our condo and build a house. We couldn't find one that we liked, and we ended up moving in to her parents' home during the construction of an owner completion home that we were going to build. And Jill's mother was a born-again believer, saved out of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and watching her live during that time had a tremendous impact on me. Another thing that impacted me at that time was a Bible tract that I picked up at a drive-up payphone in Crestwood, Illinois, and it spoke of something that I, as a Catholic, had never ever heard of, the rapture of the church. I remember reading that little tract and thinking, how can this be true? I've never heard of this. I've never even heard one thing about this and didn't know how it could be true. But then I thought, well, what if it is true? So I took the tract home and over the next day or so asked Jill's mom if she thought it was true and what it meant. And she explained it to me. She said, yes, it is true. The only way to avoid being left behind was to do the same thing that the radio preachers said, put my faith and trust in Christ and accept him as personal Savior. As the days and weeks went by, Jill's mom would answer my questions and show me things from Scripture that explained her answers. Occasionally, I would attend church with her, but not very often. That was in the winter of 1993. And then in April of 1994, Jill and I attended the Easter Service Church at Hilltop Bible Church. The pastor preached her message about death and the resurrection of Christ. He talked about the moment when Christ died on the cross and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This allowed direct access to the most holy place, the very presence of God, and there was no longer a need for the priest to offer sacrifices on behalf of sinners. He explained that sinners could now have direct access to God, but only by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, placing our faith and trust in him alone as our personal Savior. Later that day, Jill asked me if we were to get married again, if I would do it in the Catholic Church, and I answered, no, I don't believe any of that stuff anymore. That was the first of many discussions we would have about religion, the Catholic Church, Christ, and salvation. And although I did not accept Christ as my personal Savior that day, I believe it was the day the Holy Spirit opened my heart to the truth of the gospel. Over the next several months, I regularly attended Hilltop and remember being overwhelmed by a passage of Scripture that would keep coming up, Philippians 2, 9 through 11, which says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I realized that passage included me, and I was going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, either here in this life or at the end of this life in hell. Although I don't remember the exact day or time, somewhere between Easter of 94 and January of 1995, I had placed my faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation and began that personal relationship with him that I had so fervently avoided for so long. God used many things to draw me to himself, but one of the most important things he used was people. He used a gracious, kind, loving woman, faithfully serving him in her home, reading his word and sharing his love through her actions. He used a pastor who faithfully preached the message of the cross of Christ and boldly proclaimed the truth of the gospel and salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. His pastor who literally poured his life out into mine to see that I was being brought up and trained and strengthened in the faith. But the most important thing he used was his word. A pastor of mine always had a Bible placed in front of his pulpit, open to this verse, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper for the thing in which I sent it. The testimony of my faith is simply this. God did it all, and I don't deserve any of it.
Well, nothing can be added to that. The power of God in reaching into a life and changing your heart, drawing you to Himself, because of your clear testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. Joe, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope you heard even in Joe's testimony as he concluded tonight the truth of how God's work is done through people, through you and through me. And I hope not only have you been encouraged tonight, if you're a believer, I hope your own heart has been reminded of the work God has done in your life and you've given Him thanks again for His grace to you. I also hope you've been encouraged to seize opportunities to share the gospel, to leave a track in a payphone, to share with a family member, to pray for someone that you know, to speak up for Christ, to be an evangelist in the lives of the people that you know. And I trust that you'll pray for each of these in the months and weeks ahead. Choose one or two and see them tonight, afterwards, or next week. Let them know that you're going to be praying for them. Let them know that they're going to be on your heart and mind in the weeks and months ahead, that God would continue to establish them in the faith. I also just want to say tonight, for some of you who may be with us, perhaps part of our church, perhaps visiting with us, who, as you heard these testimonies, you realize that you're not in Christ, that you've never experienced the forgiveness that you heard these folks describe. The good news is that if you will repent of your sins and you'll embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that His wonderful, perfect righteousness, God will credit to your account, forgive your sins, and treat you forever as if you had lived Christ's perfect life. I invite you to do that even tonight. Go before the Lord, cry out to Him, repenting of your sins and embracing Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the testimonies that we've heard tonight. We're grateful for the work that you've done in each of these lives. Lord, you are so gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Lord, that you would reach out to and save your enemies is an amazing truth about who you are. Lord, we thank you for the work that you did in each life. We thank you for these young people who grew up in Christian homes and were drawn to you all along at really an early age, and you've continued your work in their lives to build them up and to make them like Christ. We thank you for the way you preserved them, for the way you've used family members and friends in this church and their lives. Lord, we thank you for the way that you brought Joe and Jill out of false religion to embrace the truth of faith in Christ. Lord, we pray for each of these tonight who have given testimony. Pray for Sarah and for Holly, for Chelsea, for Carrie. Lord, I ask that you would establish them in the faith, that you would strengthen them. Lord, we pray for Drew and for Edwin, for Jake, for Joe and for Jill. We just ask that in each case you would strengthen them, that you would use each of us to pray faithfully for them, to be an influence in their lives, to encourage them. And Lord, I pray that you would continue your work in them and that we would see them blossom and that they would be a great encouragement to us as well. Lord, I do pray tonight for anyone here who has not yet come to faith in Christ. I pray that this would be the night, even as they've seen the gospel fleshed out in the lives of each of these, that they would find a quiet place this evening and cry out to you for your forgiveness, committing themselves to follow Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray that your Spirit would open their eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.